Exodus 2 this morning. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. Zacharias, the word means remember of Jehovah. The Bible tells us that he was of the course or of the lineage of the heritage of Aaron. Because Aaron was that priest, remember, Moses' priest that God had selected. And he had a son, Eleazar. And then he said he was of the course of Abba, which was in the descendants of Aaron, of Eleazar. And the story is, in the course of his calling, back when David was king, they had numerous priests. And he separated those priests into 24 different groups, or he calls them courses. And these 24 groups, the priests had many things to do. They had to burn incense. They had to keep foreign altar, all these things. And they had to keep bread, remember, all before in the temple. A lot to do. So David said, we'll just spread it out. And God, of course, instructed him to do that. 24 groups. And then each group was because one of the descendants of the priestlyhood. And so Zacharias was of the eighth group, which was in the lineage of Eleazar or Abia. And now they had 2 weeks a year to do it. They had 1 week from Sabbath to Sabbath. They were on call, on duty. And while they were on call, on duty, their family stayed where their family lived. And the priest that was on duty, and several of them were at the same time, they would abide at night time and sleep in little houses. Of course, some of them had the night shift, no doubt, beside the temple. And then after that week was over, they would go back home. We'll see that later on. Then they had to come back the second week. Twice a year, they fulfilled their duty. You say, boy, that's not a lot to do. Well, remember, the Bible says that Zacharias was well stricken in years. It was quite a hardship for the priest to leave their family. In this case, Elizabeth was barren. She was an old woman too. She had no children. So while he was taking care of the priest duty, Elizabeth or the rest of the families, they were somewhere else, maybe several miles away. Elizabeth lived up in the hill country. And so I don't know how many miles that was. No one else does. They estimate where that village was, but nobody can prove it. And if God wanted us to know, he would have told us. But anyway, it was the hill country. So while he was executing this duty, and his lot was now to burn incense, they had different duties, and they would select it and burn an incense. Let's look at that just a little bit. There was always, remember, there was coals, and then there was coals die out, and the ashes, and ashes had to be carried away. So one priest, no doubt, had the duty of carrying the ashes away. And the second priest will come up, and he will go and get coals from the fire that was kindled and carry them and put them on this place, the incense, the golden place of incense. And then it seems as though the text indicates that Zacharias' job was to come back and put incense on those hot coals, therefore producing a savor. And the people were outside, remember, we're going to see that in a minute. They were outside praying. And they were doing this because God wanted it done all the time. It indicates and is a type of you and I, we bring our prayers to the Lord. We bring ourselves to the Lord. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. And remember now, before Jesus Christ was crucified and shed his blood, they had this. So his lot was to do that. And then something very interesting happens. Let's read about that. He was, verse 9, carrying out his duty. So we see, first of all, that while he was carrying out his duty, he was content in the service that he was placed in. What a lesson for you and I. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And our job, whatever it is in this world, you may be a husband, you may be a wife, you may be a child, you may be a grandparent, but whoever you are, a pastor or a singer, you have a job to do. And during that job, no matter what the circumstances are, there was in Jerusalem, sometimes it snows, sometimes it gets cold, sometimes it gets hot, but circumstances didn't matter. Zacharias, in doing his duty, from Sabbath to Sabbath, 2 weeks a year, was content. How do I know that? The Bible already told us that he was a servant of God, and the text says very clearly that he was righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Now, if you're walking all the commandments of the Lord, that indicates and it means that you're content in so doing. That means circumstances really don't matter all that much. We'll talk about that later on. But God has allowed you now to live in this present day. Troubles come and troubles go. You say, will my troubles stay in? Oh, but remember what the scripture says? One of my favorite verses. Several of my favorite verses. And it came to pass. What you and I are going through will pass. So we have to be content. And if we're not content in the state we're in, listen to the text that we're told by Paul. I love this verse. He says that we have to be content in Philippians 4:11. For I have learned, boy, we need to learn this. We never get too old to learn. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul, you didn't go through a lot of hardships. Oh, yeah. Shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, rejected, despised, put in jail, stripes often. He said, I've learned that that's my job, to serve God. And he said that I'll serve him no matter what. Zacharias was like that. He was serving God. Let's look at some of the other things he had to be content in. Now, it wasn't a good worldly situation in those days. Remember, they were in bondage, really, to Rome. Rome told them the limits of what they could do. They had to pay taxes, and they lived there, but it did not interfere. The whole chapter now does not indicate one thing that Zacharias was complaining about or even worrying about. He just was content, no matter what the world did, no matter what Rome did. And religion, boy, it was stale as it could be. Remember, God hadn't spoken in several hundred years now, because he said to Malachi, you know, I'm tired of it. You bring the lame, the halt, you don't put me first. Just go your way. Would God dare do that to America? Boy, you better be careful, America, all of us. God has pled with us. He's blessed us. He's given us the greatest economy in the last few years we've ever had. And remember now, this is about the nation Israel. Jesus comes to his own. And John now is going to be born, that we're going to see a little bit later on, the forerunner. But Israel is God's timepiece. And if we as a nation, or any nation, bless Israel, God will bless us. Look how America has been blessed because, I believe, primarily because we indicated and helped Israel back when they became a nation. Back in the late 40s, 1940s, 48, I believe, or 49, it was America that led the charge to let Israel have their independence. And God has blessed us, blessed us, blessed us. And then look what happened, that we as America stood up and said, we want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Foretold in the scriptures that would happen. And now several Arab nations have come to peace with Israel. Why has God blessed America? A lot of reasons, but primarily because we have blessed his nation, Israel. If we don't continue to do so, we put this curse on any nation that refuses to do so. And now we see all the religion was seemingly going stale, but it did not hinder Zacharias from doing his duty and being content. And the world was definitely against religion, but it did not detain, discourage, or distract Zacharias from doing his duty. He did not become weary in well-doing. The world was going the way it wanted to go. The welfare wasn't so good. Elizabeth, now an old lady that she was, had to stay alone, no doubt. She may have had nephews and nieces. We don't know. But while Zacharias was away doing his duty for a week at a time, twice a year, she was alone. So the welfare, but he didn't let that discourage him. He didn't call in sick. And there's a lot of good things going on. He wasn't exposed to the news media every day to hear all the horror stories and all the lies and deceits and everything. He didn't have all these cell phones and everything to worry about. He was just doing what God called him to do. And he was content in it, not being weary and well-doing. Well, we said there's nothing in chapter 1 that indicates any worries at all except one little word. Herod. He was a king. So that indicates a lot of other things, does it not? Herod, they call him Herod the Great. The only great thing he was a messenger of Satan. Because he was the one, remember, that when Jesus was born and the wise men went to worship, that he was the one that, he was a baby killer. He went and had all the young boys killed and put to death. In all the nation that he could find. So Herod the Great was that evil one. But I might remind you, it did not distract, discourage, or keep Zacharias from having contentment in the Lord. Herod, do what you will. God will take care of him. And Israel, do what you will, but I'll serve God. And Rome, do what you want to do. And the thing is that we have to learn contentment. Now I'll go back to the title of my message. Don't replace the joy and gladness of the Lord with worry and fear. And that's the title of the message. We're going to see next that's exactly what happens. We've already indicated and seen by the Word of God that Zacharias and his wife were servants of God. They were not weary in well-doing. They were content. But there again, we have to realize and see we have to stay that way because fear and worry will come in and we're just in this world, pilgrims and strangers passing through. So the contentment and service he had, but then he could have had the joy and the gladness to go with it. And there's a lot of joy and gladness was going to come. He happened to be in the era and the time of the prophecy being fulfilled. Let's look at Jeremiah. And Jeremiah tells about the time he was living in. This was several years before. Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramoth, lamentations and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Referring to the time that Zacharias was living in, just a couple of years away from that, when Herod, that wicked king, would kill all the men babies. And now Zacharias was living in that time. Prophecy was being fulfilled. May I remind you, we're living in the last days and prophecy is being fulfilled. The world's getting worse and worse. And we're being persecuted more and more. And the prophecy says that the Lord is soon coming to take his children home. Meantime, we're to be content and not weary in well-doing. And don't worry about what the hurries of the world do. It's going to get worse, that we know. But we're going to serve God just like Zacharias did. But then it's so easy to be content and at the same time have some fears. And he had the opportunity coming up of having some great news delivered to him, and he could have dwelled in the joy and the gladness of the Lord, even in the condition he was. An old man, but he was content. Let's read the next text together. Begin in verse 10. We read about what he's doing his duty. He's doing his lot. His lot was to burn incense, to put the incense on the hot coal, and aroma, making a beautiful smelling savor to the Lord. And he's looking at your life and mine. And if our life is godly, hidden in Christ Jesus, it's making. We may not see it. It may be invisible to us. But to the world that's looking in, they see Christ in us. And Jesus sees your life if we're living for him. And there's that sweet aroma, favor going up, savor going up from our prayer life. And God's pleased with that. So now the text says in verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Incense is going on, and the people are outside rejoicing, praying, thanking God that he is interceding in their behalf. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Isn't that something? While he is content, and while he is doing his lot, God sends an angel, Gabriel, standing right beside the job he's doing. When God sees you and I serving him, walking with him, and having the joy and the gladness of the Lord in their heart for the world to see, and they don't see her hooch lip, and they don't see her, woe is me, what am I going to do? And now he has this opportunity to take the message that he's going to receive and really get excited about it. But he doesn't do that. Sometimes you and I look at the Word of God and we know he's soon coming. We know he knows what we're going through. And we know he expects us to have the joy of the Lord. And yet we don't. And there's no excuse in it whatsoever. And now look at the tidings of great joy that was going to come. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. I suppose it would have you and I, Gabriel, archangel of God, came to me. It amazes me, does it not, when you're reading the Word of God, and God speaks to your heart, and you're in awe. God knows, he knows my thoughts. Many times in my life, I have been thinking, not saying a word, and God interrupted by thinking and said, that's not the way we're going to do this thing. And I happened to realize, he knows my thoughts. He knows what I'm thinking, what I'm planning. He knows your thoughts. And he knows that when we see all these things going on and this uncertainty, he knows whether or not we're trusting him or we're fear and trembling. Zacharias had fear and trembling. Rather than rejoicing that he knows I'm content in serving him, and he let Gabriel come to me, you would think he would fall on his knees and say, God, who am I? That you even know about me, much less have Gabriel visit me. Now, this was a man that had previously lived righteous before God in everything. And the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias. See, when we have these fears and doubts and troubles and worries, you don't shield it from God. He knows. Gabriel said, fear not. He could see the fear in him. He saw the fear. Rather than rejoicing, he had a fear. You know what replaces fear? The Bible indicates in Psalms how to get rid of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that wonderful? Perfect love. I've had occasions, I won't have time to dwell and tell you now. I've had occasions in my life when there was some sad things I wouldn't want anybody else to go through. Sad things. But God gave me at that time his love, perfect love. And it seems as though, even though it was a fearful situation, not only one, but several times in my fearful situations, but God put his perfect love in my heart, and it seems like the fear could not get in. I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. And now we have this righteous man, Zacharias, that let fear and worry replace the joy and gladness that could have been his. And he says to him, but the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. He'd been praying for the very same thing that's going to happen. And now he doesn't believe it. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You can imagine. We see later on that Elizabeth has been praying for a son. And the scripture indicates that Zacharias has been praying for a child, a son. And now he's going to receive word, he's going to get one. Instead of rejoicing and having joy and gladness, he replaces it with fear. Isn't that amazing? Think about your life and mine. How often has God allowed us to go through situations? And rather than knowing that he's in charge, he's going to get us through, we just clam up on fear. And there's only one way to get rid of fear, folks. Perfect love. And that's the love of God dwelling in your heart. It'll keep fear from getting in and abiding with you and deterring and distracting you from what you need to be doing. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Your wife's going to have a son, what you've been praying for, and not just a son, but a special son. And because of that, joy and gladness is coming your way. And many others shall rejoice at his birth. But listen to the good tidings that happened. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. We know that was a reality that came to light, because when she was 6 months pregnant, then Mary, who was now with child, Jesus, visited her from Nazareth up to the hill country, and John the babe believed in her womb. I already said that's what's going to happen before Elizabeth was even with child. And yet John is fearful and afraid. Not John, but Zacharias. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now I can see that he should be in shock. But he should believe it. This child that's going to be born by Elizabeth, and he's going to be the father of this child, is going to do these great things. No wonder he said, you will have joy and gladness. Prophecy is being fulfilled. May I remind you that we're living in this day where prophecy is being fulfilled. And we should lift up our head, as Jesus said, and rejoice that our redemption draweth nigh. No room for fear. Oh, but you don't know what we're going through. Doesn't matter if I know it or not, but I know somebody does know it. God knows what we're going through. And he said we can have joy and gladness in the midst of it because great things is about to happen. You realize how many people you and I could lead to the Lord if we would let that joy and gladness dwell in their heart and replace fear and worry? Though we've seen contentment in service, we've seen he could have had a time of joy and gladness. I want to look how the confidence that he could have had in the Word of God that he had just been announced, what's going to happen. He could have confidence, which produces joy, but now he lets fear and disbelief replace that. And it's one thing to look at him and see his mistakes, but Scripture and the Lord's trying to indicate to you and I, are we doing the same thing? Do we have confidence in the Word of God? For he said, I'll be with you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I know what you're going through. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll give you joy and comfort. Yeah, weeping may endure for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Joy and gladness. Don't replace the confidence in God's Word with distrust. Let's see what happens when you do that. So Zacharias is stood silent, listening to all the great things that's going to happen through this son that's going to be born from Elizabeth, him being the father, which will produce forerunner of Jesus and all these great things you already told him. Now it's Zachariah's time. Do you accept it? Do you have confidence in the Word of God? And he says, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. God, I know I've been praying for it. And boy, Elizabeth, that wife, she would like it really well. But it just can't happen. I just don't have confidence in what you're telling me. Let it dwell home with you. Do we have confidence in the Word of God? And if we do, why are we so fearful? So worrisome. I figured out the other day, or should have already known it, God already has allotted my days. I don't know how many they are, but he does. And there's, back in the old days, they didn't have computers and clocks where you know your clock gets adjusted to the main clock somewhere. They had moons. And I realized I am only allocated so many new moons in my life down here. And I also realized that all those new moons, you know, a new moon comes by the month. And since I only have so many, why should I take a year or two back and say, well, I'm not going to enjoy a few of those new moons. I'm just going to retreat and I'm going to just not be content. It won't work. Here's why it won't work. Zacharias is doing the talking. He has displayed that his confidence and what God says don't amount to much. Not the way I look at it, he said. But the angel is going to get the final word. And the angel answered, said to him, I am Gabriel. I'm not just a man. I am the archangel sent from God that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these good tidings. Folks, you realize what we are? We have the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Gabriel is talking to Zechariah. I stand in the presence of God. I know what he told me to do, and here's what it is. And I know you can have joy and gladness if you want it. We got the same. We know even more than he knows because we've got the Word of God. Don't let fear and lack of confidence be replaced, the confidence you have in God's Word, by mistrust and not believing and accepting what he's already said. And verse 20 says, and behold, thou shalt be done. See, there's things that happen when you and I don't have trust and believe the Word of God. There are consequences to everything relating to our life and our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have contentment serving him, despite the difficulties, despite the situations. We can have confidence in him. And if we don't, there are consequences. They're not good. Zachariah, because you wouldn't believe me, don't interfere or keep me from doing what I said I'm going to do, but you're not going to have the joy and gladness these next 9 months. You can't even talk about it. You can't say a word. You're done. I'll seal your mouth. I wonder how many of God's people have let fear and worry and doubt come in and push us back. And what we're going through, God's not here. He's not there. And therefore, we are restricted from saying to the world that God's able, God's in charge, and we're incapable of leading somebody to Jesus because they see our doubt, worry, and fear. Sometimes I think he just strikes us dumb. Or you can say the words, but they don't mean much. If not, they're not inspired by the Word of God. And behold, I shall be dumb, and not able to speak. And the day that these things shall be performed, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believeth not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So I guess the bottom line is this. God spoke it, and whether you and I believe it or not, don't have any effect of what God's going to do. You can't stop it. The only thing that will be a consequence to you and I, do we accept it? Are we content with it? Are we trusting? Or are we letting the fear indwell us? And if the fear indwells us and controls us, there is an absence of the love of God. Scripture says so. You can't miss it. So Zacharias now is in the state he's in. No repent to be done. It's already a done deal. And the people waited for Zacharias. You can imagine. He's heard that his wife's going to have a child in the old age. And he's seen the angel tell him, because you don't believe it, you can't say a word. But whether you believe or not, don't matter. It's going to happen. And now he's so shocked, so beside himself, that he doesn't come out. And the people marvel that he tarried so long in the temple. Wasn't because he's an old man he was tarrying. He was tarrying in the temple because he realized what a mistake he had made, no matter. The angel said, I don't care if you believe it or not, it's going to happen. Now he's faced with the decision, what will I tell the world? It's quite embarrassing to go out and they're going to ask him what's going on. He can't talk, he can't communicate. No doubt they probably said he had a stroke or whatever. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Well, he saw more than a vision. He saw the angel Gabriel. He heard the words from God's mouth, stood in the presence of God and declared to him what's going to happen. And he wouldn't believe it. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. We've seen how you and I should be content in serving God. We have seen how we could have joy and gladness and full of glory in every situation and everything. And we've seen that confidence in God's Word can be replaced with doubt and confusion. And we've seen the consequences thereof. But I want to look lastly, well, almost lastly. But let's look at the confirmation of God's Word. The angel had already said, Gabriel had already said, now, it's going to happen. You didn't believe it, but that won't limit us. May I remind you that what you and I do, don't limit God. The only thing it limits is your joy and gladness. And the work of God and lost souls and other people has a great effect on that. Let's look at confirmation of God's Word, verses 23 through 25. And it came to pass. Now see, Zacharias has got a week there. I don't know what day that was. He's got a week there. And then after his week is fulfilled from Sabbath to Sabbath, he's going to travel back home to his family. And he gets to stay there about 6 months until he has another week to go back and perform another duty twice a year. Now he's headed back home, the Bible says. And it came to pass. See, it did come to pass. And as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, he departed to his own house in the hill country in which he lived. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and had her and hid herself 5 months, saying, five, the number of grace. Look at the joy and gladness she had about this whole affair. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Joy and gladness. How come you can have joy and gladness, Elizabeth? Because I believed and I received without doubt what was spoken. And although he couldn't speak anything, he was happy having a writing pad. Remember when his name should be called John, they want to name him something else? And I can't do that, but his name was going to be called John because God already edicted. The Lord's already accomplished and said what he was going to do. And just because Zacharias wouldn't deal with it and wouldn't believe it, but let's go farther and let's go back and look at Gabriel's. The first time Gabriel's introduced to us is in Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 31. And Jeremiah is standing out there and receiving a lot of truth, but he didn't understand everything, of course, but God wanted to understand everything, so Gabriel, archangel of God, appeared to him and helped him understand. what God wanted him to know so he could write it down so others could see what's going to happen, not only in Babylon, but even now in prophecy about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're living in this prophecy day also. But I want to look at Gabriel's message just a few months later. Gabriel comes back and he goes to Mary. We don't have the time to deal with that, but you know this story, the Christmas story. I might preach on that tonight, Lord willing. Let's look at Gabriel's message to Mary, found in verse 36. Gabriel goes back, of course, to heaven. Now Elizabeth has conceived and has been with child, and now the same angel is going to come to Mary in verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So Mary believed it, she should be it according to thy word. She didn't understand it, but she accepted it. Many times you and I don't understand a lot. I mean, we don't understand much, to be truthful. But you have to accept it. We don't know why we're going through what we're going through, but we have to accept it. And in accepting it, you've got to be content in it. And you've got to have confidence in God's word. And you could have joy and gladness in the midst of it. Said you could. That's your choice, of course. But now Mary has got confidence because the angel said, she's already said, I believe it, I receive it. And said, oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, pretty much the same thing happened to her, except she had an old man, the husband. You don't have one, but don't limit God. Let's see what the next verse says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If I want Elizabeth being an old woman and Zacharias being an old man to have a child, which I do, case closed. She's going to have it. And with you, you have been chosen, Mary, to bring Jesus into this world. I accept it. I do not understand it, but I accept it. And God lets her know through the angel Gabriel, for nothing it shall be impossible with God. And may I remind you, the same God's on the throne. And I'm his servant. If you're saved, you're his servant. And you can have joy and contentment. And you can have confidence in God's word. And you could have joy and gladness. Don't replace it. Don't let it be replaced with fear and doubt. And the only way to get rid of that for the third time is, you say you repeat yourself a lot, but I know I'm repeating myself, right? Perfect love casts out fear. So have that perfect love in your heart as Mary did. Fear had no place. Fear could not get into the heart of Mary when she heard that I'm going to have a child. She could probably start thinking the rumors are going to go wild that I'm with child, that I've been with a man, and an angel's done on the no. Don't worry about that, Mary. I'll take care of that. God's going to be the father. You don't have to worry about things. You don't have to worry about things either. Just let God take control of it. He's still on his throne. Nothing shall be impossible. And lastly, look at the contentment in your life and mine. If you could learn to be content, it will bring and produce joy and gladness. So the bottom is, okay, bottom line is, we're in this pandemic. We're going through all these troubles. The world's against us. All the unknowns out there in earth, man. Enough to worry you to death. It didn't seem to bother Zacharias any about that regard. He was carrying out his duty of serving God. And you and I can too. But listen to the verse of Scripture as you stand. Matthew 6:33. Everyone stand, please. This is how you have joy and contentment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus doing the speaking. Your job and mine to have contentment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. So I guess I'm saying, Don't let the world intimidate you. And don't let the fear of the unknown dominate you. And just trust the precious Word of God. He's in charge. Everything. And all you have to do is accept it. Joy and gladness. Full of glory. Nehemiah said, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But we need strength in these days, don't we? Know how to get it. Joy of the Lord. How do you get the joy of the Lord? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things should be fulfilled. Your head's bowed. Please come to piano, organ, play anything God puts on your heart. You this morning, people watching,